time for a walk through the garden with Steve Stone. Every week, Steve will give us timely tips for caring for our plants. He'll answer your questions and give us expert advice. Now here's a walk through the garden with Steve Stone.
Good morning, Mr. Stone. How are you today?
Doing really good.
That's good. A lot of people aren't doing so well. Nobody was hurt with our tornadoes and high winds, but lots and lots of damage, man.
Yeah. We're fortunate to live in the community we live in because I wasn't out trying to be nosy, but I did take a quick drive around, and it's amazing the places that were damaged, how many trucks,
yeah,
trailers, skid loaders, and, yep, and bodies were there.
Yeah.
Picking debris up, gathering up, you know, the stuff that was all damaged and trying to, you know, just helping. Just people, yeah, just simply.
And I talked to several people, very able-bodied young men, who tried to get there, and the cops wouldn't let them get anywhere near.
Yeah.
They thought about going home, get a four-wheeler, and go out through the fields so they could go help, but they decided that probably wasn't the best thing either. So, you know, they said, you know, we came out here to help, that everybody just stay away. They're still working on stuff. And then the Jubilee Committee, they had all this food. You know, they weren't ready to start running the lunch stand yet, but they grabbed a bunch of people, started cooking food, taking it out to people that were working. And someone posted on Facebook that the Shell station was letting people come in and grab cases of drinks and stuff like that and take it out there at no charge.
Oh, that's awesome. Yeah. I didn't hear that.
I that was the first I'd heard of it, and I hadn't heard it from anybody else, but I know lots of people, you know, everybody can't be out there, but everybody can do something to help. So sometimes what you need to do to help is what I did. Stay out of their way.
Yeah, there was some damage. There was damage all over. There was, yeah, damage out at the lumber yard, and I felt compelled to help, but I didn't want to get in the way, so I just texted Brian and said, hey, whatever you need.
Yeah.
You need a skid loader, dump truck, whatever. I got everything. You know, I got everything. It's sitting there. It's a Friday night.
Yep.
I'll be there in a second. You just have to let me know. Otherwise, I'm not.
Just stay out of the way.
I'm going to stay out of the way. So,
yep.
Yeah, I was jonesing to help and start pushing all them concrete blocks up into a pile. But they had a lot of people out there, and they were, yep, doing their best to get things buttoned up. And I'm excited for landscape guy, excited to see the showers blow through last, yeah, evening and today.
Yeah.
Yeah. We really needed the rain. The, yeah, lawns were going off color.
There was some hail. Do you know of any
I heard
crop and or landscaping hail damage or car damage or anything?
I heard significant hail, and I heard that it was kind of where the chaos started, which was kind of, mm-hmm, northern Jay County, mm-hmm, as it was angling across. I read it somewhere, heard it, somebody was talking about an inch hail storm that was right before the tornadoes came, and that was in northern, like I said, northern Jay County, where some other significant damage had occurred when, yep, it kind of started angling across here. I haven't seen anything, and certainly haven't noticed anything around here.
That's good.
It was, like I said, it was horrible for a couple of different reasons. One, the rain comes after the roof of your house is ripped off, and yep, that's obviously insult to injury with getting moisture in your house and furniture and carpet and stuff like that. And with the barns being damaged, obviously, you know, it's just a mess overall. But the way the rain is coming down this morning, it's coming down very slow and gentle.
Yeah.
And it's certainly going to be hugely helpful for the lawns, and certainly going to be helpful for the crops. Saw a few fields this week as I was driving around. Some of the corn stands were starting to kind of roll up a little bit, trying to protect themselves from getting too much sun, so the leaves kind of roll themselves shut.
Yep.
Which is, you know, again, kind of not a huge problem as long as they get moisture, but certainly showing that it's hot and dry, basically.
Yeah.
So, you know, the rains came in a, you know, really a perfect time. The crops were really needing it, and again, the lawns were struggling in a lot of places. Variable amounts depending on who you talk to. I've heard anywhere from two and a half to a half an inch when the first storms went through. Now I haven't heard how consistent the storms are this morning, but I did check the weather map, and it looks like everything, we're right at the northern edge, and everything south of us has gotten either a significant amount more than we have, or it stands that they're going to get a little bit more than what we're getting, because we're kind of right on the edge. But again, you know, double-edged sword with the damage out there from the houses that were in farms that were damaged, and then of course the what would be the Jubilee weekend without having some storms.
Yep. You know, a decade or so ago we moved it from the same weekend as Chickasaw and Versailles, because we always got rain. And I think we got by a year or two without rain. And then, you know, now they got through our previous weekend with no rain, and we're here we are with a bunch of rain. So,
yeah.
Well, plants, flowers, or we got some more to talk about with the weather.
wanted to kind of get into that, which had some ideas for some topics today, and then Mother Nature kind of threw me a curveball a little bit. Going to talk about it being, you know, relatively dry and starting to see some lawns go off color. You know, lawns, they say, you know, your turf, or the powers to be say that, you know, turf needs at least 1 inch of precipitation per week to stay happy and healthy and actively growing. And I don't disagree with that, but I think that's maybe a little bit on the light side. And then that also, the big variable with that is temperatures. You can get by with an inch of precipitation on your lawn a week if you have what I would say would be normal, you know, summer temperatures, or more moderate summer temperatures, which would be, you know, 80s, mid 80s to maybe even the high 80s. But when you have high humidity and you have some of the temperatures like we were flirting with 90, and you have a real warm summer breeze, and you have you know, a lot of sunlight, like, when, you know, direct sunlight, no, you know, overcast issues with clouds and all, an inch of precipitation just simply isn't going to be enough to keep your. It might be fine for turf type tall fescue. Turf type tall fescue loves warm weather and loves heat. Kentucky bluegrass just simply doesn't. Kentucky bluegrass is a cool season grass, so it likes the ideal conditions and temperatures for that. For us here in Ohio, is going to be April, May, and maybe the first couple of weeks of June. So there's, you know, 2.5 months, and then, you know, September, October, and maybe the first couple weeks of November. So if you want your bluegrass lawn to look nice, you really have about 5, possibly 6 months to grow grass. Other than that, you're just kind of holding on to the seat of your pants and kind of trying to sustain it to keep it from, you know, going off color or going into dormancy. So getting turf type tall fescue through the summer actually is a piece of cake. It again really likes the warm weather, and it has a much more deeply rooted root system that it's going to tolerate warm, dry weather and just be happy as can be. Whereas Kentucky bluegrass, which is predominantly what my yard is, and a lot of yards that we put in tend to be, you know, it's up to the homeowner. We'll do turf type tall fescue or bluegrass, but people still kind of lean towards that bluegrass because of the texture and color. And it just simply is not going to grow very well through the summer. even if you are watering it, you can keep it green, and it will look nice for the most part, but you're never going to get the same growth rate and density as you will in the spring and the fall with bluegrass through the summertime, because it just simply does not like 90 degree days with, you know, 80% humidity. It just hates that type of weather. So I was noticing again, my lawn starting to show some symptoms and signs of just stress, just from lack of rainfall. So I have a lot of areas that are newly seeded, so I kind of concentrated on setting some sprinklers up and trying to get that new grass watered, which I was kind of successful in getting through all those areas, because it was really starting to show symptoms and signs of stress. A lot of that new grass was actually almost laying over because it was so thirsty, then the ground was cracking open real bad. I don't want to say unusual for this time of year, but it was unusual how fast it happened. It just seemed like it overnight, it just dried up and the ground started cracking. So again, the overcast, a little cooler, still kind of humid, but certainly cooler. An overcast that they're calling for today is certainly a hindrance for our awesome Jubilee and the committee that works their tails off all year long for about four days a year to put on this great Jubilee that generates so much money and fun for the town. Certainly hate to see it for those guys, but for the ag crops and all the landscaping that we've done and seeding and stuff, I'm thrilled to see the temperatures and the slow, gentle rain and the overcast and all that is just going to really, really promote, just a excellent growing conditions for those things to kind of bounce back and get feeling better again after all that heat.
Yeah. Yeah. And one thing I was thinking when you're talking about your, how the lawns are maybe going to go dormant in the summer. I always hear people say, my lawn's dying. No, it's not dying. It's taking a nap. It's taking a little breather. It's resting because it can't deal with that, and it's kind of protecting itself.
Yeah, plants are unbelievably resilient and unbelievably tolerant of weather conditions, and they try really hard to survive. It's amazing how some people can kill them relatively easily.
Yeah.
Because they really work hard to survive. Some of the things I noticed this week, it kind of brings up a good side topic, is again, turf was going, off color. And again, we really were having some summer-like temperatures, which were pretty much, I guess, early summer at this point. Had some really summer-like temperatures. And, plants kind of, they know what's going on. They react to the weather and the weather conditions. I had stopped and looked at a birch tree that it was, I planted it. I should know when we planted it. I'm going to say that we did that house probably late 90s. So it's a pretty nice sized tree, and it was shedding some leaves. And the homeowner was really concerned, and I think I had talked about birch trees in the past. And went over and checked it all out, looked it over top to bottom, and it was just shedding a lot of yellow leaves. And the homeowner was really, really concerned that it was, it was going to die. And they loved the tree, and they loved the location, so they were super concerned. So I had taken an opportunity to run over there and check it out. And what I had noticed was... The leaves that were falling were some of the inner leaves, which would have been the older leaves that would have came out this season. The new leaves would have emerged from the new growth that was pushing out this spring. Anyhow, it was shedding leaves. It was shedding yellow leaves. I could not find any indications of insects or disease working on that plant at all. And birches are notorious for when it gets hot and dry. In the springtime, they'll put out, however many leaves there's buds available, they'll put out leaves. And then when we get really hot and dry, if we run into a period of time where we're not getting significant or required, you know, rainfall, the tree has the flexibility to drop some of those leaves. So it's kind of a natural shed. The tree's saying, I've got, you know, X number of leaves and I don't have enough moisture to support all those leaves. And so I'm going to shed some of the inner leaves and get rid of them. And that's going to require less moisture to keep the tree growing. And then the moisture that it does have, it can be pushed into the new growth and the new leaves to keep the tree, you know, growing and happy and healthy. So a normal, you know, summer shed, I guess you could say it was kind of because of a little bit of stress with the lack of rainfall. I'd say if we wouldn't have ran into that, you know, week or week and a half or almost 2 weeks with no rainfall, and again, the high temps and humidities and stuff like that, it probably wouldn't have happened. It may have shed a little, but it wouldn't have shed very much. In this case, it was, you know, looking pretty significant as far as the amount of leaves that were laying on the ground. But overall, if you look at the percentage of the canopy of that whole tree, it might have lost 10% of the leaves. And 10% in a healthy tree is perfectly fine. The tree's going to tolerate that with no issues at all.
Yeah, but it's probably a good idea to at least call somebody and get to make sure that there isn't some sort of disease.
Well,
or are they just crying wolf?
No, it's certainly a good idea to get a nursery professional to stop out and take a look, because there could be, you know, disease issues that could be causing some of the defoliation or causing the defoliation. And, you know, if properly treated tree with a fungicide or something like that could certainly, you know, fix the problem or at least help the problem. So, you know, insects and diseases certainly have the potential to cause trees to decline and die. So having a proper diagnosis is always the best. And then that way you're certain that you're fixing the problem, or you're at least trying to address the yeah. right problem.
And get reassured that, like in that case, that it, you know, it's not the greatest thing, but it's not dying.
Right. And then that, again, dovetails into another topic or another, you know, statement, I guess you could say, is trying to get the proper diagnosis on anything with your landscaping is a really good idea. There's not one season, not one spring, summer, fall, there's not one season that goes by that I don't stop out and look at something for a client or a friend and, hey, this is going on. And I've been spraying with this, but it doesn't seem to help. And inevitably, you go out and you look at the plant, and, you know, the plant has an insect issue, say aphids. And I'm like, well, what are you applying? And they'll hand me a bottle, and it'll be, you know, it'll be a fungicide. Well, I've been spraying this with a fungicide, but it just doesn't seem to be working. Well, it's because you have insects feeding on your plant, or vice versa.
Yeah.
You know, somebody will have seven, or they'll have, you know, malathion, or they'll have some sort of an insecticide, and they'll be, well, I've sprayed it four times and it still looks bad. And it says, well, that's because you get powdery mildew, which is a disease. So proper diagnosis is hugely important, because you don't want to be spraying stuff and pesticides. You don't want to be spraying pesticides that simply aren't right or aren't going to work.
Yeah.
That's harmful to the environment. It's harmful for everything.
Yeah.
Waste of time, waste of money.
Yeah. And that, those things are not cheap. They're,
yeah.
In general, those are fairly expensive.
Yeah.
So you're wasting money.
Yeah.
And so, you're putting stuff in the air and on the in the ground,
and especially with, you know, insecticides, you just really want to make sure that you use the right product, and you're going to solve the problem. Because when you're just kind of willy-nilly out there spraying insecticides, you can be 9 times out of 10 there's probably, you know, 5 or 6 beneficials in and around that plant.
Yeah.
And there's one pest that you're trying to get rid of. And so when you kind of just arbitrarily grab an insecticide and just start spraying everything around you, you're eliminating a lot of beneficial insects.
Yeah, but I don't like bugs.
Yeah, but bugs are good.
Yes, most of them.
And most of them. So
Skeeters aren't any good.
You want to make sure you use the best product and the best practice to get rid of the problem that you're having. But then again, promoting, you know, you just, honeybees are still, the populations are kind of, I don't want to say they're currently still declining. I think it's, the issue with honeybees are kind of under control at this point as far as the population declining dramatically, but it's certainly still a huge concern that, that they have, the colonies have died out over the years, and nobody really has a specific reason why. There's lots of guesses why they're declining, but there's really no specific reason that you can actually put your finger on. And so again, the, you know, the point to all of that is you just want to make sure you're applying the right product at the right time, and you're, you know, protecting the environment and protecting the beneficials.
Yep. Yep.
I think it's time to take a break.
Yep, we'll take a break. We'll be back in just a minute with more garden stuff.
The versatile Kubota B Series is a do-it-all tractor. Run powerful attachments that can be easily switched out. It features a hydrostatic transmission and is simple to maintain. The Kubota B-Series. It makes the hard work look easy. Talk to your local Kubota dealer today to schedule a demo.
Your local Kubota dealer is Hall Brothers in Fort Recovery, Ohio.
A new grill from a big warehouse is like trying to start your old grill. You can end up standing around by yourself and nothing happens. That's not what happens at Ace. Wengler Ace Hardware has an exclusive lineup of premium brands plus premium service from the people who know you best. We'll make sure you get the right grill, whether it's gas, wood pellet, or a flat top griddle. And better yet, we'll assemble and deliver it right to your patio. Don't forget, your newest grill is never far away, and neither is our help. That's why grilling starts at Ace. Stop by Wengler Ace Hardware in Fort Recovery, your grilling destination.
Are you looking to become a part of a company that uses the vision of their team members to assist them in becoming successful? Cooper Farms does just that. We utilize the ideas and visions of our team members to make our processes better, easier, safer today. The Fort Recovery Division of Cooper Farms is currently seeking individuals to fill open egg packaging and sanitation positions. To learn more about these positions, as well as other open positions, please visit cooperfarms.com/join our team. Cooper Farms, more than a workplace.
We're wild about reading at the Fort Recovery Public Library, and we are excited to begin our 2021 summer reading program, Tales and Tales, on June 7th. Whether you pick up a book about fairy tales, folk tales, or animal tales at the library this summer, you'll be sure to learn something new and have fun. We'll have some special story times with players from the Grand Lake Mariners and employees of Cheeseman Transport, and those are sure to be big hits with the kids. We have animal programs, music, games, crafts, and more planned for your summer reading program. A calendar of events can be found at the library. Some events will require registration, so stop by your library or call 375-2869. The summer reading program runs from June 7th through July 14th with a pool party and prizes for the young participants on Wednesday evening, July 14th, and adult prizes being drawn on Saturday, July 17th. A big thank you to the summer reading program sponsors, Psi Iota Xi Sorority, and the Friends of the Library. Get your kids involved in their annual summer reading program, Tales and Tales, starting Monday, June 7th at your library.
This is Jeff Hobbs, the voice of Triple D Entertainment and the King of Ohio, inviting you to the King of Ohio Country Jam, Friday, July the 2nd, at the Allen County Fairgrounds in Lima, Ohio. The show will feature Clark Manson and the openers of Natalia Taylor and Knox Morris. Tickets are $15 and $20 and are available on Eventbrite or Facebook King of Ohio Country Jam page. Get back to living after COVID, Friday, July the 2nd, King of Ohio Country Jam.
We're back here on Walk Through the Garden. Lots of things to get to today. Again, with the onset of summer, before the break, we were talking about lawns. And if you weren't completely aware, you should have probably two settings that you typically have your mower set on as far as height. In this time of year, you definitely want to bump that that mower deck up a notch or two from where you are normally mowing. A little bit higher cut height makes a really, really big difference in getting your lawn through the summer happy and as healthy as possible. It stands to reason when you raise that mower deck up, you have a longer blade of turf, which actually does a better job of actually shading the soil surface because you have more blades. Hopefully, if you've fertilized, you've got a nice dense turf. And then as if the blades are taller or the blades of grass are taller, it will shade the ground. So when we do get an occasional shower kind of blow through that might be a tenth of an inch or even less, and that the soil gets a little bit of moisture to it, it doesn't evaporate as rapidly. It will stay in the soil and give the grass plant a little bit more of an opportunity, hopefully, to absorb that moisture. So raising that up, that deck up, makes a big difference. I'm kind of the opposite extreme as far as mowing height goes. When it gets to be summertime, you know, kind of the dead of the summer, I'll be mowing probably almost at 4 inches, between 3.5 and 4 inches, which is probably an inch, maybe 3/4 of an inch higher than what's recommended. But it, you know, I don't have irrigation, which I really need to get irrigation. But
if you just knew somebody.
If I just knew somebody and he had time.
Yeah, that's the problem.
It would be wonderful.
Yeah, they always say the cobbler's
kid
has the worst shoes.
Doesn't have any shoes
because they're busy helping other people.
But it does make a big difference to raise that deck up. It will keep your lawn much darker green longer. And there's always that argument out there that, well, I, you know, especially like in the spring, well, I mow a little shorter, then I don't have to mow as frequently. And that doesn't equate. It doesn't make sense. You're not going to mow less frequently. You're still, if you're mowing, you know, to try to reduce the height of the turf, it doesn't matter if you're mowing 3 inches and you're mowing, you know, twice a week, or if you're mowing at a half an inch, you're still probably going to be mowing twice a week.
Because it's still going to grow.
It's still going to grow at the same rate.
Yeah.
But mowing low this time of year is just horrible for your lawn, because you're taking all the blade surface off that actually photosynthesizes and helps the plant grow, and you're opening up you're just opening that soil surface up to just absolutely get baked by the sun. And then also when you mow real short, you also, especially if your lawn's not very dense, you're going to open up all these areas, which is just going to be ripe for seeds to come in, weed seeds to come in, clover, dandelions planting, and they're just going to take over. And so a tall, you know, dense turf is, you know, kind of like a forest. It just doesn't allow a lot of stuff around it to grow and thrive. Certainly will not allow a lot of different types of weeds to thrive. So that's why, you know, mowing heights can make such a big difference. And that doesn't even venture into, you know, watering your turf. It just simply is a fact of, you know, move your deck up a notch or two through the heat of the summer, and your turf's going to stay healthier, it's going to stay greener, and also you're going to be, you know, by default, you're going to be preventing weeds from infiltrating your lawn. So there's a lot of really good reasons to just take that up a notch or two. I think they recommend turf type tall fescues. They recommend, if you go to online or wherever, they're going to recommend probably 3 inches this time of year, maybe 3.5. In bluegrass, they're going to recommend probably 2.5 to 3. I don't pay any attention to that. I do kind of my own thing, and my bluegrass, like I said, it's 3.5 usually. It's really long right now. It almost looks like nobody lives at our house, because I was out of town last weekend, and then I was going to mow on Monday, and it was just so hot. And I just, and again, when you're mowing, that's another really good topic. When you're mowing, if you can, which most people can because they work during the day, either mow really early in the morning, which your neighbors probably wouldn't like, or mow, you know, really late in the day. Because if you mow in the middle of the day, you are cutting that grass. You are severing a piece of that grass off. And so it takes time to heal. Just like if you cut yourself, you're going to bleed initially. And then, you know, you're going to clot and the blood's going to stop and it's going to scab over. The same thing happens with moisture when you cut your grass is if you do it in the heat of the day, you're going to lose a lot more moisture out of that blade than if you would do it in the evening, because in the evening it's cooler, the sun's setting, you don't have that intense sunlight, the plant can heal faster, and then it loses less moisture. So anyhow, I was going to mow, and I'm like, gosh, it's just so hot and dry, I just hate to mow because I'm going to lose so much moisture, and I had still had really good color in the lawn. So I'm like, I'll just wait a day. And then it's, I'll just wait another day. Well, I'll just wait another day. And here it is Saturday. I should have mowed on Monday. And now we're getting a bunch of rain.
Yeah.
So it's really pretty and it's really dark green, but it is really long right now.
So you need a bush hog?
Oh, no. I'll just have to take my time when I finally get out there and do something with it. But, yeah, I'll go as many days or in the summertime. I'll even go weeks without mowing if I can, just because, again, it just creates, you know, stress for the lawn. It's not that I don't like mowing. I kind of like it, but it just creates stress. And then if your lawn's starting to be stressed anyhow because of lack of moisture, and then you go out and mow it, you will increase the how fast the thing will go off color. That's why it just kills me when we get into July and August. I'll just be ranting and raving about people that are out mowing their grass when it's totally dormant and they have a few weeds sticking up and they're out there and they're tracking across it with their feet or their big mower, and they mow the whole yard to knock down a half a dozen weeds that are sticking up. No, man, that's really hard on your turf to do that. Wasting time, effort, gas, everything just to, you know, just to go out there and mow. So when it gets to July and August, I do very, very little mowing if it's really dry. And it usually is. So yeah. It just makes it a little bit easier on the turf.
We want to take another break here real quick.
We'll take a break and we'll be back and get her wrapped up.
Yep, back in just a minute.
Hi, this is Steve Stone from Nature's Green. And if you need any or all the quality products to get started on your lawn and landscape this spring, we have it at Nature's Green. Soils, mulch, flowers, vegetable plants, seeds, trees, shrubs, perennials, insecticides, fungicides, you name it, we have it. But most of all, we have the knowledge and expertise that will help you get through any project. Stop out and see us at Nature's Green and load up on everything you need, or we can deliver it. Just call us at 419-375-2322. Nature's Green, your landscape's best friend.
Proudly serving the Fort Recovery area for over 23 years, Fort Camp Excavating and Farm Drainage has the expertise to handle any dirt work you need. From installing waterways and building pads to demolition work and septic system installation, Fort Camp Excavating and Farm Drainage has all the equipment you need to get the job done right. Does your driveway need some fresh gravel, or do you need some dirt hauled in? We can take care of all your hauling needs as well. Give Brian a call at 419-852-6655. Fort Camp Excavating and Farm Drainage. Go Indians.
It's grilling season, and Wayne Street Market has everything you need for your cookout. Steaks, hamburgers, brats, hot dogs, it's all there at Wayne Street Market. Fresh vegetables, baked beans, potato salad, chips and dips, pop, beer, wine, it's all there. Stop in and stock up now so you're ready to go when you fire up the grill. Wayne Street Market, the best meat market around.
Recovery Friends of the Arts invites you to join us again this summer for another great lineup. We are bringing back many popular favorites from last summer and adding some exciting new acts as well. From a Journey tribute band to Neil Diamond and Toby Keith impersonators to classic country, oldies, and pop, we're sure there's something that will appeal to everyone in the family. Join us on Sunday evenings throughout the summer at Hine Amphitheater in Bantries Park at 7 p.m. For more information, pick up a brochure, find us on Facebook, or visit our website at FortRecoveryFriendsOfTheArts.com.
event 50-50 raffle tickets for the 2021 Win on the Wabash are on sale now. Tickets can be purchased online only at wowraffle.com. Sales end on August 20th, and the winner will be drawn on Thursday, August 26th. The pre-event 50-50 is just part of the many ways you can win at this year's WOW Raffle, to be held August 27th and 28th, 2021, at Ambassador Park in Fort Recovery.
We're back with Steve Stone on A Walk Through the Garden.
Well, there was a lot to do about nothing with this 17-year cicadas, at least for us.
Yes, around here.
And yeah, Mercer County was spared the howling loudness of the 17-year cicada. But if you headed south and paid much attention, we do a lot of work down south and Tip Troy, and I travel that way a lot. And you'd get down to basically about Troy, mm-hmm. and then Troy south, and you get down close to, like, I noticed like the I-75 70 corridor right through there.
Yep.
There was a lot, and they were noisy.
Yep.
And then if you get down into Cincinnati, there are certain areas of Cincinnati that were really bad, and there are some areas that were spared. I know around the Mason area, it seemed like there was quite a few, but I know there was little burgs and suburbs all around Cincinnati. Some areas was really, really bad, and some areas was a few, but not as many, I think, as everybody anticipated. But again, it wasn't last Saturday. I think it was a Saturday before I was down that direction, and I was traveling 70, real close to 70 and 75, and you could hear them. It was just so, it was such a, and of course you're on a highway and an interstate as well, so there's lots of road traffic, and you could still hear them. It was unbelievable, the racket that they made. And then of course those big devils have wings, and so you ran into a couple of different places where they just started hitting the front of your vehicle, and you thought somebody was firing golf balls at you. It was it wasn't like hitting the little bugs, it was hitting something really big. So then I get home and look at the front of my truck, and I'm like, dang, that's a mess.
Get the power washer out.
Oh, baby.
A couple hours later, you get some of the bugs off.
So, yeah, in our area, it was a lot to do about nothing. I did hear a few clients talk about over around the lake, they had intermittent little pockets where you could hear them making their racket. But again, for whatever reason, this brood never made it up very far north. And so, like I said, once you get into Troy and south, it was very, very, very noticeable and unbelievably loud. But at this point, they've kind of gone through their life cycle, and the population and the racket has started to decrease. So their feeding and mating rituals are nearly over. So it's just going to get better and better as far as the amount of racket that those suckers make. But then once this brood's come and gone, with the noise and racket that it makes, then our typical dog days cicadas are going to be out and about, and then they're going to be, but they're usually not as obnoxious, and then the population,
there's not as many billions of them,
and the population is dramatically less. So, well, that's about all I got for today. I want to thank everybody for tuning in, and thoughts and prayers out to everyone that's out in the rain today. And helping people, and the people that have the damage. Again, unbelievable if you look at the damage online, because everybody's posting pictures on social media. Unbelievable that nobody was hurt or injured. Just simply unbelievable.
And, you know, Channel 7's been up here. I think all the TV stations have been around here. They actually had somebody live here in Mercer County this morning. They were heading
There's a lot of people alive in Mercer County, isn't there, Neil?
Yes, but Channel 7 is broadcasting live.
Oh, okay.
So we're getting a lot of coverage, and that's good, I guess, that people know that that there wasn't any No loss of life, no injuries that we know of. You know, some roofs were taken off of houses, damaged. People, I heard somebody talking about that their brother was out in their barn and they were doing stuff. Just got finished, went in the house, and 2 minutes later, things were going.
I have mixed feelings about those guys coming up and kind of wandering around Mercer County.
Oh, well.
Because the one lady on TV said that she was on the corner of Burrville and Mr. Recove Road.
Yeah.
And I was sitting there with my son, and he's like, what? And I said, well, I think she mispronounced Minster, and then Fort Recovery's abbreviated. Yeah. And so she was on the corner of
F. Recove Road.
Yeah, F. Recove Road. And I'm like, oh, for God's sake, get in your SUV and drive back to Dayton. Yeah. Because
and supposedly, I don't know which station it was, or if it was Lima, Dayton, I don't know who, but somebody was talking about one of the guys was on there. Obviously, he'd never been in the country before. Because he didn't know what a barn was.
It was
a building with animals and tractors is what he called it.
This lady was trying to describe what she was looking at, and it was a farm, and it was a barn, and it was blown down, and she, I wish I would have recorded it, because the way she described the scene, I'm just sitting there in my house going, oh, for crying out loud. What, I mean... Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
you don't know what a barn is. You don't know what a farm is. You don't know what a a turkey house is. You don't know what a machine shed is. You know, and you can't pronounce. Nobody even told you. Okay, this is wouldn't if you were like a producer or the guy in charge. Wouldn't you? This is Minster Fort Recovery Road, or this is this. This is this. Not just Mister. This is Mister Road. So I don't know. And again, people are trying to get stuff done, and people are trying. Our community is doing a fantastic job.
Yeah. And that's one of the things that all of them have said, that
and then
they couldn't believe. They thought they were really fast getting here.
And then they have to stumble over these doofuses to get to where they're supposed to be helping their friends and family.
Yeah, well, and they were talking about by the time they got there, a lot of the debris was gone because their friends and neighbors had all come over and done it. And so that's a good thing that they're talking about that. But,
it was unbelievable. Yeah. The farm out east of town, that they had all the debris out of the field. They had everything piled up. I mean, heck, it couldn't have been an hour after the storm, and they had, the loose stuff that was all blown all over the place. They had all picked up.
Yeah.
They had two skid loaders out there with grapplers and picking stuff up. It was freaking amazing how fast everybody showed up.
I've talked to several people on the fire department that go out and are kind of in that kind of stuff, accidents and other things like that, and they hate the people that think they have to be in the middle of it while they're still trying to
assess the situation,
especially like an accident. They're still the ambulance hadn't gotten there yet, and this guy's taking pictures. You can't do that.
Yeah, that's
and
annoying.
They've had to physically remove one of the local photographers several times.
Ooh.
Yeah. Had to physically grab him and take him out.
Oh, for crying out loud. Yeah.
So, they have to take their pictures. No, you don't have to take your pictures. You have to stay out of the way so people can do their jobs.
That's right.
I better let you get to work.
Thanks.
Your boss is going to be mad.
Thanks, everybody, for tuning in. We'll talk to you next Saturday.
Yep.
Thanks for joining us again this week for a walk through the garden with Steve Stone. If you have a gardening question you'd like Steve to answer, just email him at steve@naturesgreennursery.com and he'll answer it on a later show. Be sure to join us again next week for a walk through the garden with Steve Stone.